This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by FullScript. FullScript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, improve patient care and adherence by dispensing professional-grade supplements from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products and features like refill reminders and auto-reorder. I've been using FullScript in my practice for years. I even use FullScript to order supplements for myself and my family. They've got all the brands I use. So I have firsthand knowledge of the impact that they can have on your patients. It's simple to use, providing EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel integrated. It integrates with your way of working and with your patients' day-to-day lives. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence and eliminate inventory management, you should really try FullScript. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/Hoffman to start using FullScript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about FullScript. Tell them Dr. Hoffman sent you. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Ailey Cohen. She's an integrative rheumatologist. She is also author of an upcoming book. It's actually available for pre-order. You can get it now. The Non-Toxic Guide to Living Healthy in a Chemical World. She also is the medical director for The Smart Human, which is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. What can people find on Smart Human? Tips for healthier living?
Yeah, so The Smart Human I came up with a couple years back because I was just really frustrated about the kind of information I wanted to hear about, which is really sort of just simple recommendations on how to reduce chemicals in our environment, but also lifestyle, nutrition, information, things about raising kids and making them a little bit safer, drinking water, those kinds of things. So I post Monday, Wednesday, Friday on The Smart Human on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The handle is @TheSmartHuman on Twitter and Instagram. And I don't sell anything. I don't endorse anything. It's squeaky clean. But, you know, attached with articles, it's just really what I would want as a busy person, but it's high yield and, hopefully, you know, really practical, great information.
Great. Well, let me pick your brains as a board certified rheumatologist, because I know that, a key weapon in your armamentarium against, autoimmune conditions is a drug called hydroxychloroquine. You know, most Americans didn't hear that term, hydroxychloroquine, or, you know, it's better known as Plaquenil. Before the coronavirus pandemic, but you rheumatologists are dishing it all the time. So is it safe? Because it's really been called into question that, you know, after some casual remarks by the president, you know, the demand for it soared. The thought was that people were doing themselves irreparable harm by going on it when it hadn't been really vetted as a effective treatment for coronavirus. And B, is there some plausible mechanism by which it should work? You know, it's not an antiviral, so how does it possibly have an impact on coronavirus?
Yeah, no, so this was actually a post I did a few weeks back when it was really in the news quite a bit, and I wanted to talk about sort of why researchers were looking at it, and not so much right now. Of course, everything's changing every day, but, you know, one of the reasons people were looking at it was because hydroxychloroquine, which is something, as you mentioned, rheumatologists have been managing for years. I mean, it's like a 40 or 50-year-old drug. We typically are not required to get any EKGs before starting it on patients. We usually just get a blood test called a G6PD test, which mm-hmm. is to check for an enzyme, glucose 6 dehydrogenase enzyme, to see if even genetically where someone might not have enough of that enzyme to break down the drug, in which case you'd want to be, you know, to modify that dose. But essentially, there's no real requirements before starting it. It's an incredibly safe drug that I've been used for, you know, for many, many years. I think the issue, and first, the way they're, you know, they're looking at, why they're looking at it is because it has this ability, it's believed, it has many antiviral properties, by the way. But one of the interesting ways that it may actually help with a virus such as COVID is that it has this ability to pull micronutrients into the cell, particularly zinc, which is an antiviral mineral, which, it, you know, is very difficult for zinc to cross the cell layer that's infected, you know, if it's a lung cell. And hydroxychloroquine is an ionophore, is what they call it, where it has the ability to pull zinc across the outer lipid, fatty lipid bilayer into the cell, and then the zinc is able to cut off the enzymes that replicate the virus. So, you know, it's been a very interesting study on hydroxychloroquine. Unfortunately, you know, I think it's panning out that it may not be as effective as people think it is, even by the time this airs. What the problems were was that, you know, people were giving it. It was given, and then it was also given with another drug, azithromycin. And both of those have the ability to change the EKG to affect the electrical production of the heart. And so that was sort of the lock-on effect, is that you had two drugs that actually could cause the same issues. And I think it really increased the risk of heart problems. So, you know, it's been shown that the risk-benefit may not be there. I should say the benefit-to-risk ratio is not good enough to really continue the many of the trials. But they're still going on in small centers. So,
is it conceivable that it worked in some patients because it was anti-inflammatory? Certainly it has sort of an immune suppressive effect, you know, in an over exuberant immune condition like rheumatoid arthritis, an autoimmune condition, or lupus in particular. I don't think it's used that much in rheumatoid arthritis, but it's used more in lupus in my experience. That was the basis for its benefits, because we know that at a certain point, patients go into cytokine storm. And is it possible that Plaquenil puts the brakes on that somewhat?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot entirely that people know about it. We know that it has these antiviral properties. We know that it has some anti-inflammatory properties. It lowers these cytokines that are kind of sent out as sort of an inflammatory response. And there's some other, you know, there's a list of several things that are the potential ways it works in the human body under normal conditions, or I should say under autoimmune disease conditions with rheumatoid patients that are mild or lupus patients. And then I think the question is whether or not that same property may be helpful towards that cytokine storm, which is really towards the end of a major response to COVID. In other words, people really don't have that inflammatory response who pass the infection rather quickly. In fact, 80% of patients typically do. But it's that smaller proportion, about 20%, that actually who get the sickest, who become hospitalized, where the system is actually overflowing, you know, with inflammation to the point where the body can't regulate itself. And so that's where these drugs are going to play a role, whether they can help, you know, modulate the immune system. And again, that's why I mentioned in segment, in the first segment, that drugs like Actemra and Kevzara, which have been around for you know, a few years. Actemra's been around, I think, almost 7 or 8 years. It's an IL-6
inhibitor. What condition is it used in?
In rheumatoid, well, actually several now. They've gotten FDA approval for several, but it's psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Actually, Actemra is used for giant cell arteritis, which is a vasculitis. So, you know, they're taking these drugs that we use pretty regularly and applying them to these really sick, sick patients. And, you know, there's been some nice response to them in small studies. Again, the jury's not out on this.
There's a lot of seat of the pants medicine going on in, you know, in some of those hectic ICUs, you know, because they're just trying to throw anything they can against this. There's so many ramifications of this, it's sometimes hard to keep up. The question I have for you is, you know, you have patients who regularly take Plaquenil. They've been successfully taking it to tame their conditions for years. Have they had trouble getting their medication? Has there been a run on hydroxychloroquine so that there's a scarcity and it's hard for patients to get their regular meds?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the downside of running too fast into the wind here with these recommendations, is that, you know, we didn't really have enough of the studies to really support that kind of reactivity in hospital systems around the country, where they would sort of absorb all those drugs that everyday, you know, lupus and rheumatoid patients were on quite successfully. And since many of these drugs come from China and overseas, India, then you're looking at a real, you know, bottleneck in terms of getting some of these drugs. Now, fortunately, some of these smaller pharmacies and pharmacies who recognize the rheumatologists or whoever's prescribing them regularly really kept a little stash for some of my patients. But it wasn't easy, and they had to run around calling to some of the smaller stores. But, you know, you know, it, I think now it's cooled off a little bit. So we'll see about that. But yeah, these are really life-saving drugs for many of my patients, particularly lupus patients, where Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine really quiets lupus activity. And it's just really important even for organ prevention, organ damage prevention, like lupus nephritis. So, mm-hmm. you know, when they can't get the drug, I think that's a pretty important, you know, serious issue for those who really rely on it to be healthy.
So here's another conundrum I've been thinking about is, you know, when this all began, I said, oh my goodness, it's coming over here. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans who are now on immunosuppressive drugs for multiple sclerosis, for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, for rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and the whole panoply of rheumatological conditions that you treat. They chronically take these medications that suppress their immune systems. There are a lot of people who've had organ transplants, kidneys and livers and hearts. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be the Grim Reaper. These people are so susceptible because they have virtually no immune defenses. And yet, to my mind, we're not seeing that. I mean, are you seeing among your patients who chronically take things like Remicade and Humira, these powerful immunosuppressive medications, TNF-alpha inhibitors, that they're succumbing in droves to coronavirus?
No, actually, it's kind of interesting. Well, first of all, the first calls that I got for several weeks and even a little bit now was, oh my God, should I stop my medications for
my patients? Exactly. That was the concern, right?
Yeah. You know,
people were
yeah.
afraid. Yeah.
And in fact, the American College of Rheumatology, which sort of sets guidelines, has never put out anything as of yet. I mean, they make some suggestions, but certainly no guideline mm-hmm. Changes at this point, because it's really based on an individual by individual basis. So, you know, patients who are stable and doing quite well, you know, remember, autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid and lupus, that's an unstable immune system to begin with. I mean, that's why they were diagnosed and they're inflamed and they may have severe joint swelling and pain and liver, kidney, whatever, what have you going on for that specific diagnosis. Those medicines were designed to quiet the immune system to a normal level, or at least to get it back to a functional level where they weren't swollen and they didn't have lupus issues like kidney nephritis or neuropsychiatric lupus. So,
sometimes you see the warnings, you know, on these commercials, you know, with these sort of bucolic scenes, you know, people riding their bicycles or running around in the park, you know, they're able to walk and run. They have these dire warnings like, you know, make sure you've been tested for tuberculosis. You know, if you go to a zone, you know, where there's fungal infections, you know, beware, blah, 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 blah. And you think, oh my goodness, I've got no immune system. So what happens when the coronavirus comes along?
That, you know, listen, for any infection, these medicines are supposed to be held, right? You're not supposed to take these medicines mm-hmm. during an infection, but that's very different than, you know, taking these medicines to keep your immune system normalized mm-hmm. the best you can, along with a diet that's healthy and nutritious and getting appropriate sleep and drinking clean water and managing stress. That is the most appropriate way to handle an immune system related condition when you're on immunosuppressant medications. But if you were exposed, then that would be a time to hold that medicine, because at that point you don't necessarily want to be on those medications. And again, the guidelines may change. I mean, there's none right now, but the suggestions and guidelines may change as we move forward. But it turns out that most of the conditions that are ending up hospitalized aren't the highest on the list are metabolic conditions.
Yeah. Not so much the autoimmune patients.
The autoimmune diseases, they're there, but they're certainly not mm-hmm. at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. So either that plays into what they may be on medically in terms of medications. It may be that they also have other comorbid conditions, separate from a rheumatologic mm-hmm. issue. Maybe they don't move as well and then they're obese, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that that hasn't been teased out yet, but, you know, it's interesting to see that that is not a consistent theme throughout the patients around the world, pointing to autoimmune patients or rheumatic patients ending up as the sickest or the most hospitalized.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned FullScript. Remember, FullScript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, I'm a user, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription through FullScript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient. The most incredible part, though, is it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners, giving you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence and eliminate inventory management, you should really try FullScript. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/Hoffman to start using FullScript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about FullScript. Tell them Dr. Hoffman sent you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a new natural product from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farms Elderberry with Zinc and Echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation. And zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is an all-natural, science-based formula and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Ailey Cohen. So as an integrative rheumatologist, obviously you make use of diet. You probably put some of your patients on something akin to the autoimmune paleo diet to reduce inflammation or reduce the potential for food intolerances. You use probably tons of fish oil and curcumin. And, you know, I can envision some of the things that you might employ in working with your patients. Are you able to, in some cases, successfully reduce the medications they depend on, or even eventually wean them off medication? Is this a workable proposition? Is there really a prospect for integrative rheumatology?
Yeah, that's exactly the mission statement, really, is really that the frustration over handing over medications reflexively was just really more than I could bear from what I was learning from my training with Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. And what I realized
is the Andrew Weil program over there.
The Andrew Weil program, yes. And, and I was a skeptic. I mean, I'm as skeptical back then, and I decided to go for it and learn this material. And I have to say, understanding how food is medicine and plant material lowers inflammation, and then understanding from my college years of anthropology, understanding what the human body thrives off of and what it doesn't do well with. All of this kind of, created this practice where I felt, I really want to try how these other things, and there's evidence to them. I mean, I run around giving an evidence-based integrative rheumatology lecture to many of the top hospitals around the country, trying to share this information that has plenty of studies. There's over 1,000 studies on curcumin, or, there's over 1,000 studies on fish oil. And the benefits, of anti-inflammatory effects for many of these substances. Now, I'll go deeper into say, listen, brands matter, quality of these products matter, cost matters. I mean, clean food matters, and just being able to afford and have access to clean food is really critical. So it's not all about supplements, but it certainly is about thinking outside of the typical toolbox of medication and how these other substances really do have an effect in a positive way on the human body, and then integrating them in either with medicines or without medicines. And the medicines are there and they're great, and thank God we have them, but I don't believe in the reflexive use of those medications unless they're needed, and certainly not as high doses as many might propose in Western medicine. Maybe less medicine dosing because of all of the other work people are doing to kind of lower their inflammation. So the answer to your question is yes.
So one of the toughest dilemmas in medicine, and in fact, in my practice as well, but certainly in your practice, it's actually an easier decision to initiate medication. As the patient comes in, their joints are inflamed, you go, let's hit it hard. Okay. And in fact, that's now the trend in dealing with autoimmune diseases. Now, let's not wait until there's, you know, people shouldn't be taking, ibuprofen until their joints become all deformed. Let's give them strong medication early on to prevent these problems. So it's easy to initiate medication, and that's really the, according to the guidelines. But the process of taking people off medication or weaning them, how do you make that decision? When do you decide that a patient seems to be stable, and then you have the courage of your convictions to say, well, maybe it's not just the medication that's, maintaining, you're reducing your inflammation, that it's time now to see how, you know, take the trainer wheels off, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I think it's a partnership. It's a 100% partnership with patients. And if patients are of the mindset that they would like to start moving off of medication, and they're otherwise, from my own medical experience, not going to put themselves in harm's way, for instance, a lupus patient who has a severe history of lupus nephritis, I'm not necessarily going to take away some of the important medicines that keep them stable so that they don't have, you know, an issue with their kidneys and perhaps have a real problem and perhaps need surgery. So, you know, my job is sort of the captain to kind of make sure no one gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And the coach.
Sort of like the catcher in the rye, you know, keep them safe.
I have to. And then, you know, listen, patients come to me, you know, suffering 10 years without medications. And they come to me because they've been so stoic and gone to every single naturopath and integrative functional. I mean, not for a bad reason, but just did not want to be on medicines. They were so fearful. And then I look at them and I say, listen, your quality of life is so poor. You need to be on this kind of medicine because all of your good attempts and, you know, everything you've done is right, but it just wasn't strong enough, wasn't helpful enough. And so,
and that's a realistic approach. That's really truly an intelligent medicine approach, because, you know, realistically, for some people, it's not a merit system. You can be doing all the right things, and yet, the inflammation is deep seated and has taken its course, and, you know, sometimes you need to put the fire out.
Absolutely. And I think that most patients would understand that they just want to be guided safely. And I don't think anyone wants to get hurt. But yeah, absolutely. I think that there's ways to do it. And then that points back to the whole personalized medicine that we really don't have as a setup in this country. I don't know how possible that would be. But certainly in my practice, it's kind of what I've strived for, because I see the results. And I would like nothing better than people to get off meds or lower their meds and then really not need me anymore. I mean, that would be a win, you know. So, I think that's the goal. And most people would have to decide that's right for them. And I meet them where they're at. So we go in partnership.
Indeed. And so how are you practicing these days, you know, amidst the lockdown and the constraints of, the coronavirus pandemic? Are you allowed to go into the office? Are you doing telemedicine?
Thank God I have an office, because I didn't want to be home with my kids and my husband right now.
You need to separate yourself a little
bit. Thank God I have an expensive, horrible mortgage. But I'm seeing patients remotely through telemedicine. It's slowed down a little, that's for sure. I think almost everyone would agree that fear factor and cost for, you know, cash-based practices, of course. And, you know, there's all sorts of factors. But, you know, the thing is, I think we're going to, you know, eventually we'll probably, I mean, I still see emergency patients. I just saw a patient this morning with a frozen shoulder. But aside from, you know, God forbid, not life-threatening issues, you know, I think for the most part right now, we're doing telemedicine and seeing people's joints and rashes through the computer quite well, which is wonderful. And, you know, if they have to come in, we're just using all precautions. And I think that's what everyone's trying to do. Our job, I think yours and mine and many other outpatient practices, are really also helping to keep people from going into urgent cares and going into emergency rooms and sort of helping that flow from going into the more serious environments where COVID might be more, catchable, so to speak. So, you know, I think there's a purpose there, but no, it hasn't, it slowed down, but I think eventually we're going to get back to the science of touching and feeling our patients, which I think is really critical, especially in rheumatology. So I'm optimistic that this is going to change, but going to be still, an in-person field.
Indeed. Okay. Well, you know, let's point out some resources to our listeners. The book is definitive, The Non-Toxic Guide to Living Healthy in a Chemical World. That's available for pre-sale from all the usual outlets. And The Smart Human, is a resource at The Smart Human on Twitter, also on Facebook and Instagram. And there, if you follow, you'll be given, you know, useful information on a constant basis, right? That's what you put out.
Yeah, it's teed up for the next 6 months, and it's, you know, it's one of my great pleasures because it's creative, but it's really high yield and things that I think most physicians aren't sharing with patients, perhaps, but just really good practical info.
All this was conceived well before the coronavirus pandemic. This is because you recognized, along with, you know, your collaborator, Fred Momsal, that chemical exposure was contributing to a great deal of sickness and death in this country. And now we've got the coronavirus pandemic where there's a tie-in. But let's keep in mind that in spite of the tragedy of coronavirus and tens of thousands of deaths due to coronavirus, that number is dwarfed by the number of people who will succumb to the effects of toxic environmental chemicals via lifestyle diseases, you know, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension, autoimmune disease, and, you know, all manner of diseases, including cancer. We certainly know there's an environmental connection there. So, you know, I think it's really a very, very important initiative. And now coronavirus has given it even more urgency.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think has there been a time that's been more scary for people who may have chronic illness to think that maybe now's the time to take a little care maybe in their health. Everyone has their own journey, and I think it's hard to, it's not reasonable or responsible to judge those who may have chronic illness. But, you know, knowing that there's doctors like yourself and myself, I mean, I treat everything. I don't treat just rheumatologic conditions. I treat MS and Crohn's and migraines and children. I mean, knowing that there's this piece of information on sleep and nutrition and lifestyle that's missing for many patients, I think that's a really important thing to know, that it exists and it's attainable, and that people can start working on making those changes now. It's never too late.
Indeed. It's certainly a call to action for lifestyle change for the immediate future as we confront the coronavirus, but also for our long-term survival. So thank you very, very much for your contribution.
Thank you for having me.
And just let's mention that your practice is located in New Jersey, and could you give people a heads up on that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm located in Princeton, New Jersey. I grew up around here. It's lovely, and I see patients from pretty much anywhere physically. I mean, a lot of people drive in, but a lot of people are getting their initial visit through telemedicine, and that website for my practice is aileycohenmd.com. God, I can't believe I forgot that. It's aileycohenmd.com. And yeah, people are interested.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, thanks for your outstanding work and dedication. And all the best as you launch your new book.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Thanks for joining us. That was Dr. Ailey Cohen. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.